I'ma say what I feel, and I promise to keep it real.
Welcome to the Rant Room. Well, you gotta be a rider till your fears are diminished and the doubts are behind ya. It's hard to grind and the business got me stressed. In the Rant Room, we let that shit up off our chest. You know the street nerd has got no time for no caca. Sass in class, yes, that's Mr. Bolakaja. Never have to guess when you're listening to Hilliard. He gon' bring more game than a shark playing billiards. It's all about the crap of screenwriting. It's exciting when you turn an outline into something enlightening. Your pen and words are like bullets in a gun. Write what you feel, say what you want. Welcome to the Rant Room.
What's up, y'all? It's your boy, Hilliard Guest, and you guys are listening to the Screenwriters Rant Room, where we keep it real, we keep it opinionated, we keep it what, y'all?
Wakanda. Forever.
Y'all heard it,
you got to add the Florence Kasumba line at the end of that, because y'all know
right
from when that, what was that movie called?
Which one?
I'm not even a fan of the Avengers franchise. The one that Black Panther showed up in.
Civil War, Captain America.
Thank you. Right. So Civil War, she made the whole movie. Like, I was there for Chadwick Boseman. I ain't gonna lie. That's the only reason why I was gonna go see it. And I was there to support my girl, Linnell, because her man is Chris Evans. She chose the wrong
you
Chris.
Said it like the bitch died.
She chose the wrong Chris. All you have is chose. It's Chris Pine. Y'all choosing the wrong Chris's. But exactly. Anywho, so I went to go see him. But when Florence Kasumba came up to Black Widow?
Right.
And said, move, bitch.
Like, get out the
in
way.
In my head, I heard
get
the parentheses,
out the way,
bitch.
Get out the
she
way,
said, move, or you will be moved. That was the movie right there. Exactly. Like, I need to see no more. It's like, Black Panther's already lit. And that was what, 2014? When did something that movie like come that. Out?
2 years ago.
2 years ago?
2015. 2015.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Maybe.
Right. So anyhow. Y'all know how we do it on the Rant Room. On the show, we discuss entertainment, TV, film, music, culture. But our focus is always screenwriting, stories.
Craft.
And shit like
and
that.
And shit like that.
Little Miss Interruption over here.
Echo.
Okay, little. Lisa Bolakaja in the house. What's going down, girl?
Hey.
What up? Where you been?
Hey.
We ain't seen you in a minute.
Hey.
I know you've been on the run.
Wait. I got to y'all got to walk real careful around Hollywood nowadays.
I know.
Skeletons.
What happened now?
Everybody's getting just put on. Look, George Takei.
Right. What did
George Takei.
What did fucking Sulu.
What did he do? Sulu roofied someone.
No.
Is the story.
Allegedly, a model says that he, was it roofied? I thought he said he groped him.
Well.
Like in 1981.
1981, bitch.
Yeah.
Really?
He took him to his house and gave him a drink. He passed out and he woke up. With Sue's hands was in his pants, and his pants were down.
He know good as well. He had sex and woke up, and he was just finishing up.
Look,
that's all, baby.
Everybody, look. I even told Twitter. I told people on there, all of my faves have been canceled until further notice.
It's ridiculous.
Like, I just need if anything comes out on Jeff Goldblum,
damn,
or Idris, any of my faves, Tom Hardy,
done, huh?
Any of my favorites.
You out the business. You ain't
I'm
doing
like,
it anymore.
I'm going to stop doing this podcast because there's no sense in talking about nothing because I can't watch
that's true.
Nothing.
That's
you
true.
You can't watch nothing. You can't watch
have
nothing.
To talk, you know what?
I'm scared.
Right.
Can't even talk about old shows if Sulu is getting taken. I mean, Sulu, Richard Dreyfuss, Dustin Hoffman from 30, 40 years ago.
And Dustin Hoffman from Kramer, if you saw the documentary,
Kramer,
if you saw the making of Kramer versus Kramer and how there's this famous speech that I love where he talks about why he loved playing that role of Tootsie. Yes. It makes me cry every time I see it, where he talks about women who aren't conventionally attractive and how they're always the ones that are in the side of the room and no one talks to. And he said he understood that. Like, I was like a little kid when I saw that. Back in the days, we had VHS tapes, people. When you had to be kind
beta.
And rewind.
Beta.
And
beta.
Get it back. Yes, beta.
Beta Max.
Right.
Beta. What kind of?
Beta.
Your family is really struggling back then. If you had beta.
Beta was much better quality.
No, it was not.
Yes, it was.
Yes, it was.
Yes, it was.
Is it still here?
No.
Yes, it's still. Well, yeah. It lasted
beta,
longer. It lasted
beta
longer.
Beta's still here.
DigiBeta was the next version up. Right. Lasted longer than VHS.
Because when you go to film festivals, they ask you to turn your film into
DigiBeta.
And then you go.
Because it's got more lines of resolution per square inch. Just 425 maybe and VHS was 300.
Anyways.
So it always looked
like
bad.
Whatever that
anyways.
Shit means.
Anyways. The point is the people who I admired and whose work and just really just kind of it means anybody. And it's scary.
Look. I always say?
Fucking Anthony Edwards.
I know. Got raped.
Yes.
He did?
Yes. When he was a kid.
Damn. See, I'm just behind. Look, some shit.
Look.
And shout out to Corey Feldman, who's been trying to tell people for years about some of these pedophiles.
Right. He said your boy, Charlie Sheen, raped him.
What?
Yes.
He said that.
So Hollywood, look, y'all got to wear like cushion knee pads and you got to wear protective gear because the skeletons are all in the streets.
Look, I was telling Hillary the other day.
Yeah, we were talking about this the other day.
I don't even give women hugs anymore.
Tell them what happened. You ain't got to tell them who it is, but just tell them what happened the other day. That example, you said you met that big producer, whatever.
Oh, yeah. I'm this producer.
John Singleton. Yeah. The girl from I think it was Blavity and Jesse Jackson. And I was like, what?
Yeah. So I met this woman, and we were at Paramount. So it was a friend of mine. We were talking. She came up to so she knew my guy I was with. She like we were talking and leaving, and she put their arms up for the embrace. And I said, he's no. Like, Talk to the hand now means talk to the hand. Because I don't.
I wonder how that's going to happen.
Wait,
now.
You got to do your Vulcan salute. Live long and prosper from a distance. Okay.
I wonder how that's going to be now because a lot of people are like, oh, I'm a hugger. I think people are going to stop doing that. I wonder.
They have to.
I hope not.
I was, and I'm now I have to. I have to stop now.
I hope not.
I have to stop.
You have to ask people or let people get permission.
And then have
witnesses.
I don't even want to. Yeah. Where's the closed circuit TV? Because otherwise, because to me, what I think will happen is this. I believe that there's going to be a backlash. Mm-hmm. I believe that what's going to happen is less women are going to get hired because people are going to be like, I can't trust what they might say. Right. I can't joke around.
No, wait.
I'm not saying that's right.
If you're already a decent person, that's not even an issue.
No, that's not true. That's not true because people do have access to grind. People do feel they've been aggrieved, and I've heard women say at events on the mic what they want to do is to see that they want the next 100 years of movies to be 90% women directing the films.
I want the next 5,000 years to be woman dominated in everything. What she's asking for is just a little drop in the bucket.
But to me, I'm just saying to myself, that just lets me know there's an axe to grind. And there's an axe to grind, that means you have to be on, you know what? I just think everyone needs to wear burkas and we're going to be straight.
No, we're not. No, we're not doing that. If anybody's gonna wear a burqa, it's gonna be men.
No, not heads, but
men
just like the suit.
Adult supervision.
You have to wear the thing. You got to wear the like the poncho.
I think it's like this. I think people just need to be fucking decent people.
Thank you.
That's the key.
Thank you.
That is true.
I shouldn't have to worry. And I'm a gay man.
And you shouldn't get a cookie for being decent. That's like the norm.
You know what? That's the Chris Rock thing. You know what he was saying about nigga versus black people? It's like, so you take care of your kids? You're supposed to take care of your kids.
You don't get a cookie for that.
You don't get cooked for anything.
Men don't babysit their kids.
Well, they should.
Look, I hear people, my friends, their husbands, like, oh, I got to babysit. Nigga, that's your kids. You ain't babysitting.
Like, it's a chore.
Is your wife paying you to watch your kids? Please. Anyway.
No, I'm just saying that to me, it shouldn't be such a big issue. It should be a simple thing, and as a such thing as decency. Chris, you as a straight man should not have to worry about being in a room with an executive with the fucking door closed. Mm. You shouldn't have to worry about what you're saying. You just fucking be cognizant of what the fuck you're saying. That's all. You know what I mean?
No matter how beautiful they are to you.
I'm recording everything.
No matter how pretty they are to you or whatever. But here's
I'm not going to say anything to
let
women.
Let me just do a quick
but
reversal.
Here's the thing.
Quick reversal before you keep your thought.
Okay.
So I was watching The View the other day. Not that I watched The View, one of them motherfuckers. The one with Whoopi and Autumn and Idris was on.
Yeah,
they were flaunting all over him like, oh my God, and grabbing and squeezing his arm. I'm like, isn't that some bullshit?
No, he is a thirst trap. That is what happens when thirst traps are in your proximity.
Okay, explain, bitch.
That's what that is.
Tell the kids what that is, though.
How's there any difference?
Okay.
That's what I'm saying. Is how was that?
It's only because women have not been allowed the same type of open adoration.
Okay.
And there is man candy and there's eye candy. And so, but it's not on the level of, were they groping him?
I mean, they weren't grabbing his testicles and shit.
Well, we don't know that.
But they were squeezing his arm.
You shut your mouth.
And blushing and turning all red and just like, oh my God. And, you know,
I know.
It was obvious because of how he looks. If a dude did that, it would be changed another way.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
Because men make things creepy.
I agree with you on that, but I'm just saying
I know that men
if
do
we
make
were
things
all
creepy.
Decent about it.
I know
in
that
some
men
way,
make things creepy. But see, I have two things to say. And this is not excusing anyone's behavior.
We're going to have to burn Hollywood down and salt the earth and start all over again.
Rebuild, bitch. Rebuild.
Where can we move to? Can we just move it like down the street somewhere?
Okay,
can we move
now,
to San Diego?
Now, two things on that. One. Mm-hmm. It's not Hollywood. It is the whole... It's a whole industry. The thing that happens in Hollywood, the reason why it's getting so much media play is because there's that weird cross-pollination of people who work in media and who jump back and forth. Because you heard about the Weinstein deal. Like he was throwing people like book deal, people who are journalists, "Oh, I'm going to give you a movie deal, or I'm going to give you a book deal if you shut up.
Right.
I know that's been happening constantly. I look at it as like, we know sexual harassment goes on. We know it goes on. Like to me, I've heard it's worse in places like food service industries and stuff like that. That women get like if you want this job at McDonald's and then get on your knees kind of thing.
Right.
So, but that's never reported as enough. I think that what's happening now is that there's kind of like there's still kind of like that weird sense of like, I can't believe such and such an artist who I fell in love with doing such and such role is creepy, but this is not excusing anyone. This is not excuse at all on any level. But I do know that this industry and what we as consumers actually like about material is how twisted it is, how dark, disturbing, and because then it kind of feeds, it talks to us about our own truth.
Sure, it's dirt. We all like dirt.
You know, look, the material.
And we
that,
like Schadenfreude look, too.
Yes. and it's like the material that we gravitate to is people who are like taking their dark secret and going, here's on the page. Right. But you know what? You can't take the dark secret and pull on the page unless you have a dark secret.
Now,
I'm not excusing anyone's behavior, but I know that that's kind of what people kind of like. I mean, particularly now people want that in the work. Mm-hmm. You know, they want that stuff. You know, people can't do a movie like Space Hunter Adventures in the Forbidden Zone anymore because it's not personal enough. Right. It's not telling me about you. It's not telling me about you, what you struggled and what you went through, what you're... But in the industry has always found... people who've been bullied and shit like that, they find refuge in the arts in general, and that's just what happens. It's not just Hollywood. It's just that's what art has been doing. Right. I mean, you can go back and look at the stuff in the Renaissance. Mm. People were doing that crazy-ass shit because that's just what it was.
Yeah, especially look at some of the Renaissance stuff in Italy. If you go into those museums, you go up like the upstairs and see some of that stuff. And when you be walking, especially in Florence, that's where my family's from. It's like when you walk around there, you see some of those statues, like the statues that are like kind of hidden to the side. Mm-hmm. Some of the freaky, nasty, bizarro shit that I like. And so we have fans of people come around and I'm like, here, let me hip you over here. They have these fancy water fountains. Right. So like, let me show you this demon over here. Let me show you some shit over here. Come step over here a little bit. You can't see it from this angle. Yeah, and all the magazines they show you, let me show you this little thing over here. And it's like, it's just out there. Well, it's kind of like with Louis C.K. Like 2 years ago, I remember, I don't know if it was, what magazine it was, but somebody had wrote, started writing about the shit. I was like, whoa. And usually where there's smoke, there's fire. So I remember I started taking his stuff out of my queue because there was something about his humor and he always had masturbation jokes and he always, in all of his acts, he was always doing something where he was like pretending like he was jerking off. Right. And something in the back of my head, the dark Lisa who always thinks that people have their shadow sides was thinking, he's up here on stage telling on himself. He's telling some things
there's
about
truth
himself.
Behind that.
So it was like, now,
that's what I'm saying. That's
now,
what I'm saying.
When that stuff comes out now and you go back and look at it, he was basically telling you,
This is what I do. See, the true question is,
and then people covered up for him for years.
Yeah, managers, agents, everybody, right?
I mean, the true question is, are we able to even appreciate anyone's work who is twisted? That's just the question.
And that's something I deal with, and I personally have to deal with this. Like, for example, Roman Polanski.
Right.
Fucking genius.
Chinatown.
Listen. Right. Not even
Chinatown.
That. Early work, like the stuff like
Rosemary's Baby, Repulsion.
Repulsion is one of my favorites. Mm-hmm. And it's like and when he actually acted in The Tenant.
Yeah.
That one?
Yeah.
Like there's just shit. And I grapple with this all the time because I totally hate what he did, and that. But a part of me, the art stands, and part of me has to grapple with that.
See,
people accusing Michael Jackson of stuff, and like I've been a fan, and it's like that line. But I have to look at people like R. Kelly, who I can't stand, whose music is not that good.
Well, that's the thing too.
Because their parents ain't raised them right. Well, on you know what? But his
music's not good. Right. Chinatown, Rosemary's Baby, Repulsion, The Pianist. I mean,
he said the penis. That's what it sounded like you said.
But see,
I know you said the pianist.
But see, I mean, and you could potentially say what's rational circumstances. I mean, look.
And one of my favorites.
But you can't.
Ninth Gate is my cult classic.
Ninth Gate
is dope. I got my mom hooked on it. We watched that. I bought the movie every couple weeks. My mom watched that. We love, and it's like, God, Johnny Depp and Roman Polanski stuff. And it's like all this shit that's just like,
young Johnny Depp.
But it's like, fuck. Right. You know, like, what do you do?
Death in the Maiden. So, I mean like all this shit.
About boycotting people's stuff, a part of me is like, I just want to be able to, like, you're a horrible person, but I still want to covet your work.
Well, I mean, let's talk about that, though. Let's talk about that. That's the interesting.
And I want to support those people.
That's what I'm saying.
Been harmed by that stuff, you know?
I mean, that's the interesting thing that we have to find out. I mean, how do you. And this is just the three of us having our own little, you know, speculations and, you know, beliefs and whatever. So we're not saying we have the answer to the group in any kind of way. We're just having a discussion about it. How do we fucking solve this thing? When you have all these super, super talented people who do bad, quite frankly, in every way, in everything that we do, there's somebody who does bad.
In everything.
You know what I mean? Now that doesn't give you license.
It doesn't give you license
at
all.
So I'm not saying that. I'm saying, what can we do? So let's talk about solutions.
I don't know. Before we train to talk about solutions, I'm just thinking about, I'm still processing the fucked upness of, like, I'm thinking, that's my new t-shirt, y'all. It'll be on Teespring pretty soon. All colors. I'm thinking about the dude from, who did Arrow, the CW, you know, the guy, probably. Supergirl, who just got, him.
Kreisberg.
All these guys who have positions, I'm thinking about all the people who they blocked from getting roles because in their mind they had a certain actor or actress who they thought was their ideal because they want to fuck this person. Right. And how many talented people missed out on opera? I'm thinking about Ellen Page, her Facebook post that she said.
God, that was so heartbreaking.
Where she basically said shit that I thought about Brett Ratner when I first met him years ago before when he did the first with what's his name?
Money Talks?
No. What's the movie with Jackie Chan?
Rush Hour?
Thank you. Second Rush Hour, I think it was. And I was at this event in Hollywood, the Roosevelt Hotel. Mm-hmm. And I remember he was there, and he was riding high because of the number one movie. And I remember watching him like, oh, that's that dude, blah, blah, blah. Oh, he's an up-and-comer. Right. And just watching his behavior. And I'm like, dude, he's nasty. Mm. But I think most people in Hollywood nasty anyway. But, you know, I got to Febreze people when they walking past me in Hollywood. But I just remember thinking, you know people when you see them. They're just something not right with them.
But see, to me, look, I'm not going to say most people in Hollywood are nasty. I'm saying that there are ones who are nasty. Look, Tom Hanks is not the only, you know, squeaky clean dude in town.
Oh, hell no.
He can't be.
No.
You know?
Oh, there's dirt somewhere.
Oh, well, there's something, but what kind of dirt is the kind of dirt we're talking about, right?
No, well, look, it's a level. Look. I mean, he's obviously not a lech the way these other people are. There's tons of people who are like that. There has to be. People do get talked about all the time as being great around, great, you know, all the time. There are people who are foul.
Right.
We hear about all the time.
Right.
The, you know, like, I'm not going to name some dude's name, but there's that one producer who everyone knows he's super fucking abusive.
Right.
Just super, to his assistants, everybody's super fucking abusive. Mm-hmm. But he treats the talent and the writers like they're gold.
Right.
You know, and it's like, okay, so now what's the situation, you know? I mean, to me, what you're saying, but how do you fix it? It's really complicated because the industry, let me take that back. The art form of what we do causes people to want to worship. That's why I always tell people that the movie house is the new church. People go to worship the cinema gods because they give them something that's so unique and personal and affects them. And when you meet those people, when you're around those people, you can't help but give them some sort of like sense of adulation.
Right.
And the way people are, that's just going to, it's the people who protect people. Mm-hmm. It's like the person who's being protected might not even know necessarily that they're being protected, but that person's the meal ticket for these other people. And they're like, and so-and-so, like, you know, I like Louis C.K. People love his comedy. People want to be around that. It's just, you know, it's like, you know, the whole thing about, you know, you shouldn't meet your heroes. But it's like.
You should not. I don't.
You should never do that. But the thing is that's just like, it happens everywhere in every culture, well, in every aspect. It's giving people too much power.
Well, I think it comes from, personally, I think it stems from, like, the rock and roll attitude, too. You know, the whole thing about rock and roll is, you know, sex, drugs, and rock and roll. You know what I mean? So you can, I've been a dancer on tour with certain singers, and they would come up stage and say, that girl right there. And their security would go down, get the girl, and bring them backstage. You know what right. I mean? And it's a known thing to do. Like, they have signals that they give their guys to do. You know what I mean?
That's what I'm saying.
To pick out which ones they want.
Look, it's in every industry. It's in Broadway. It's anything that's entertainment that affects people's emotions. Right. Because the emotions are so tied into your sex drive that this was going to happen. Right. I mean, look. You know, part of the research I was doing on the Orson Welles thing right. was one of the reasons why the studio heads really, really wanted to crush him is because Randolph Hearst, you know, he had this dossier on, like, the black women who these people were having sex with that they had to sent down to.
Who would not want to have sex with Eartha Kitt? That's all I'm going to say.
No, I'm not saying that. No, I'm saying guys like Louis B. Mayer and Harry Kahn, would get these black women or Mexican women, get them pregnant, and then send them down to Mexico to get the abortion.
Really?
And Hearst would follow this to get the dirt to say, you're not going to do X, you're not going to do Y. And if you don't, here's the photo of you.
Oh, that he'd use it.
So he used the photo. So it's man. Like it's always been going on,
right.
You know, and it's just like, there's just that level of, like, depravity that I think that we just don't know how to, like, protect ourselves.
And that's why Citizen Kane will always be the classic it is, because of the subtext, because it really is an attack on Randolph Hearst.
It really is. Oh, complete.
Yeah.
Complete.
Yes.
Complete.
Yes. Yes.
How do you really feel about that?
And listen, if you've ever been to Hearst Castle,
just
please go. Twice. Every time I go up, I go all the tours.
Xanadu.
And if you stand, and if you stand very quietly.
Mm-hmm.
You can hear all the scandalous things that went on there.
What's it called? San Simeon? Is that what it's called?
Oh, my God. That's my favorite spot. There's a hotel that's about 20 minutes away from there. It's the Cavalier. It's the... Oh, God. What's the name of the theme? But anyways, the Cavaliers right on the beach. I go there almost every other year for, like, New Year's time.
I think I might have stayed there.
And you go down there, and you stay, and you drive up there.
Right, and you drive up to
the... And I love it. Yeah. And they have this thing. I don't know if they still do it, but every year they would have, like, this Christmas big dinner. Like, you pay, like, this grip of money. And then you go get dressed up, and you actually have the dinner inside the Hearst Castle.
Oh, really?
I've been trying to save up for 10 years. Because, bitch, I want to go.
It must be loot.
I
want to
go.
A lot of loot.
I'm thinking it's like maybe like...
A G?
No, more than that.
Two Gs? Five?
It's like a 7-9 course meal.
Five Gs?
Fancy. Really?
Five Gs.
Really?
It might be.
For dinner?
It might be.
It's Christmas,
but
though.
That was 10 years ago.
I'm going to fly to Paris for 5 Gs and eat somewhere nice.
But you're inside a Hearst Castle.
I'm going to go fly to the Hotel Crillon and you just reopened and eat there for 5 Gs.
And you're sitting there and you know all the ghosts of all the scandals.
Or to Bristol. Shit. I mean, what the hell? This is not just to Bristol. Shit.
And one of my favorite things at Hearst Castle is they show, like, the films of his friends. And let me tell you, Charlie Chaplin was fine as fuck. Charlie Chaplin looked like Prince back then.
Yes, he did.
He really did.
They have a picture here. If you go see this, it's him playing tennis.
He kind of like...
And he has this... Oh, my God. He's got the eyebrow. He's got this dark... And I thought, damn it, that is Prince. That's a light-skinned white boy Prince.
Little short, little dude.
And I'm like, fucking Charlie Chaplin.
With a British accent.
I'm like, Charlie Chaplin.
Right.
Oh, my God.
Well, yeah, he basically... what's the word? He kind of like... I guess he, like, dressed down to be the little tramp.
Right.
But it makes sense. He's the right. little tramp.
Right.
You know, he's not, you know, Valentino right. playing the chic and shit, right. you know?
But see, I like those old-timey. Like, one of my favorites, like, my old-timey, like, fine. Like, when I see him, like, if I get the money, I want to get, like, a velvet painting of him. Mm-hmm. It's Farley Granger.
Right.
If you know who Farley Granger
Farley
is.
Farley Granger, yeah.
He's one of the first.
He's a rope.
He was openly queer. He was bisexual.
Right.
Fabulous dresser. If you've ever seen Strangers on a Train.
What a great name, too.
I mean, and he was just...
Awesome.
Wow. Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. Gorgeous. Awesome. Like I go look at old pictures, like, and I have like photo, like I have a little file on Frawley Granger. So when the holidays come up, like I have
a movie on here.
Listen, I've got like the fall look, like he would have like these sweaters and his little scarves and things like that. And he was just that Brill Cream. Like he had the hair, like not everybody had hair for Brill Cream.
No,
but not all white people had that. Right. So
but he did.
Farley Granger, and then he was just gorgeous. Like he just, oh God, he was like one of those fine white dudes from way back in the day. And it
did
was
he
like,
kill himself or drink himself to death, something like that?
No, he lived a good, long life.
Okay. I don't
he lived
know.
A happy life. How dare you curse?
No, I was asking.
No, he did live a long, long life.
Because what's his name basically killed himself? No, because, Montgomery Clift killed himself.
But if you look at some of the, if you watch the old, like the Criterion Collection, the Hitchcock movies, especially when it's got Patricia Patty Hitchcock, his daughter on there.
Oh, yeah,
they have a bunch of him on there. And I think he lived to be like in his late 70s.
Okay.
And he still looked good. Like he would show up and stuff and I'd be like, see, that was my husband right there. Like
Clark
the
Gable.
Oh my God. I'm sad that he didn't do as many movies. Like he did some TV stuff, but he, I think this is what I believe. This is just my own opinion. I think because he was queer and he was bisexual and he loved both men and women, I think Hollywood was not ready to have that kind of star.
Probably. Well, you know there were a few guys,
and it wasn't like he was hidden. I don't feel like he was like
Like that. Look, I mean, look. There's that word of like that Randolph Scott and Cary Grant were like we're living together for a while.
Right.
God bless him.
You know, I to me, I'm just wondering: is Farley Granger, did he get? Because what you don't know is you don't know how many.
Also, check out Rope.
Yeah, Rope. Yeah, because what you don't know is how many queer stars of that time might have been again, because we got photos on you. Are they going to be put into the
and me would have been like, but are they good photos? Right. Bitch, release them. I look good. Release them.
The blacklist thing.
Right.
You know, the whole Red Scare. Mm-hmm. Is he going to be caught up in that to some level, and then his career is going to peter down a little bit? Because you don't know. Because Rope and Strangers on a Train were done in the '40s, late '40s, right before the Scare, and you don't see him anymore. Really, I mean, he. You know.
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I don't know. A lot
so what we gonna do, y'all, with Hollywood? It's a hot mess. Like every time. Now here's the thing. And people on Twitter, because you know I'm a Twitter crack fiend. Before in 2016, when you saw somebody's name trending, you're like, oh Lord, please don't let him be dead. Now 2017 is, oh Lord, don't let them touch nobody.
Right. Yeah.
Well, let's talk about this.
Oh my God.
Who's responsible? The person, the studio, the network.
All of them.
Everybody.
Because there was somebody who put out a tweet who said that the Minotaur, I have to find, if you look on my Twitter feed, I retweeted it. I can't remember the person, whoever it was. Thank you for having that great analogy. They talked about the Minotaur has been revealed. But the problem was, and the revealing it and getting to it was
the
easy.
The Minotaur.
Was easy.
What that mean?
But the you know the
we don't
Minotaur.
Have Minotaur in the project. What's that?
Oh Jesus Christ!
You know, well, no, I know it. You know, it's the man with the bull head.
Yes,
right. I'm teasing.
But I would say, but to me,
but the labyrinth.
That's Picasso.
To get to that, no, but the labyrinth.
Oh, okay.
That kept that Minotaur in its place was the main problem.
I see what you're saying.
The main problem was all those people who created those labyrinths, who created those obstacles for revealing these people for who they are. Right. You know, whether you knew about it and said nothing, like all these men. Who frustrates me, who said when they were dating these women, who told them this is what's going on, and they were just like, oh, well, I'm just going to confront them because you're my girlfriend, but you weren't confronting them for anything else when you heard shit about them. Right. I'm thinking about all those writers, comedy writers, all those women who said that they quit comedy and quit pursuing their goals and their dreams because all those people who were protecting Louis C.K., you know, and I'm thinking about all the people around and I'm thinking of like, I'm not saying that these people protected him because who knows? Some people don't know.
But
I'm thinking about Chris Rock, all those people who are his friends, who all those writers' rooms.
Pamela Adlon. Yes. I'm just kind of like, you don't look. If we hear about the Louis C.K. stories and we did, they heard. Are they not going to like say, oh, no. If you hear it too many times, like you said, the smoke is fire. Look, to me. I think two things are happening. I think that this hasn't come out 5-10 years ago because of the money, right? Mm-hmm. That the money would be is too powerful of a thing to try to, you know, you know what you're going to do? You're going to cost the network money. You're going to cost all this kind of people money. But now, because this type of media is so precarious and people are so fickle and people will not come because the social media will all of a sudden say, oh, this movie's terrible or this person's or this show's terrible, we'll kill it. They can't take the chance anymore to protect anyone.
Yes, because right. Ridley Scott sure did.
He was like,
take Kevin Spacey out and reshoot shit.
Immediately.
Reshooting things right. 6 weeks okay, when the movie comes out. Christopher Plummer.
Okay, look. We're going to reshoot. You can reshoot Kevin Spacey. That tells you nobody's safe.
Nobody.
Okay.
Two-time Oscar winner.
One of the best actors ever.
Got some Emmys.
Really?
Got some damn Tonys, too. You're out.
Gotta go.
Peace. And, I mean, I mean, you know, he's almost one of the, what do they call it? What is the GOAT? Is that what they call him?
He's a GOAT.
He's the greatest of all time?
No, no. The Grammy, the Oscar.
Oh, yeah, the GOAT. Yeah, Grammys, Oscars, Oscar,
The Tony. What's the Tony?
And what's the A? The Academy Award.
Yeah, Academy Award, yeah. So, no, that's Oscars and it. So,
Emmy.
Yeah, it's something else, whatever it is.
It's
but
the Grammy.
It's the Grammy, Oscar, the Emmy, the Tony. Yeah. Okay. So,
I think he's got them all.
He's of a Grammy.
No, he doesn't have a Grammy.
But I'm saying even that is not enough to give you any kind of shield.
Right. Bitch, next time I look at, what's the movie, the one that really got him when he, did he win the Oscar for it?
Of course.
The American Bryan Singer's. No, not American Beauty.
Oh, which one?
The one that really made him.
Suspects.
Usual Suspects. I got to go back and Photoshop that bitch's face out of everything.
Damn.
Like when I watch it, I got to squint. When Kaiser Soze reveals himself and a verbal cant comes on screen, I gotta like squint and not see Kevin Spacey anymore. Like, ooh. Or American Beauty, like squint and not see Kevin Spacey anymore. Right. Like, how fucked?
Or you see him as he is in Seven when he plays John Doe because, you know, he's that dirty. Right?
And hey, America, they tell themselves, they recognize, hey, some people say sometimes the art that you're attracted to do and that you're doing. Maybe it's because it's calling to you and it's
of course.
Giving you that outlet.
Look, there's, I can't remember who was saying this, but someone was
saying.
So
I apologize ahead of time to all the people for any movies that come for me that has to do anything with men with horns and hooves and sexy demon guys. You know what? I own that. I'm not ashamed. Y'all ain't got to throw my skeletons out there. I will just reveal it. Here's my spine. Take it.
I mean, look, I'm just saying that people always say you are your best performance when you get to be you. And people say this is a, you know how people say a lot of times you're writing scripts, oh, this is like a Julia Roberts film, or this is because they're writing a role that they know appeals to the persona that she's cultivated.
Right.
But the persona that she's cultivated, like once she got, you know, if you look at her career before Pretty Woman, she's in some movies where she's like trying to do stuff that is interesting. Right. But Pretty Woman is kind of her, not the horror aspect, but that laugh that she gave in that, like she never gave that in anything else. Because now it's like, this is me.
Right.
And then everything after that is like, is closer to that prod, to that. And even in fucking, what you call it.
And that's why she got boring real fast for me.
Well,
she was on the radio this morning talking about none of that stuff. She was on National Public Radio talking, I'm talking about Julia Roberts, and she had just said that she's reeling from all the stuff because she says that she's never had that happen to her in the industry. She says she's one of those lucky few. And I think the reason why, part of it is because at once pretty, cash cow, you're not fucking with Julia Roberts in the 80s.
You're not
fucking with her.
You're not.
She's making too much money. Any type of scandal, they would have ruined it. Now, if she would have came out, it might have. Yeah. It might have. You know.
Look. I mean, I haven't heard from Sandra Bullock, so I don't know. But
that's another good example.
But she came on the scene, and then as soon as she did Speed, you can't touch her.
You can't touch her.
You know. But the sad thing is, most of these women who are coming forward. Because of the way the industry, and this is something to do with the industry on a level, is that you have to come up in the indie world.
Yeah.
And the indie world, like by and large, is more complicated subject matter, right? And the people who are going to be attracted to complicated subject matter are people who wouldn't make it in the studio system, you know, for a lot of reasons, just their taste and stuff like that is not going to work. And then that world, because it's not as formalized, it's a lot. I mean, obviously look at Miramax, but it's a lot more fluid. I mean, maybe not so much now, but at that time, late 80s or throughout the 90s, it was, you know, that's a lot of people like
so where are we with Miramax right now? What's going on?
Well, Miramax,
are they going to fold? Are they going to be strong enough? Are they gonna
okay, stay? So the Weinstein's company. So the thing, yeah. So they're supposed to rename themselves. There's this movie that came out that I really want to see this summer, but I missed. It's called Wind River. The guy who wrote,
About the native,
yeah, but the native thing, right. and basically that they're still trying to push an Oscar campaign on that, but they're taking the Weinstein name off of everything, wow. You know, on the prints that go forward, on the things that go out. I think the whole thing is just like they're gone.
Can I just jump on that while you're talking about Miramax? Because. Which used to be Miramax they sold Miramax, right?
Sold Miramax.
Because Miramax was Miriam and Max, which was the Weinstein's mother and father's name. And they put that name that created Miramax, the name of that company. And then once they sold that, look here, they're still trying to get these red vines, y'all. They can't even focus trying to get these red vines. They create the Weinstein Company. But what's sad now, because especially when Ellen Page made that Facebook post, she had mentioned Misty Upham. If you don't know who Misty Upham is, she's the Native American actress who was in Osage County. She was also in Django Unchained. She was an up-and-coming Native American actress. And in 2014, she had went home, and then she was missing. And she became part of what is known in Indian country, which is the missing and murdered Indigenous women. Mm-hmm. If you look on the hashtag on Twitter, it talks about how there's a disproportionate number of Native American women who go missing and who are killed, and no one talks about this in this country because a lot of people think Native people don't exist anymore. And one of the things that was brought to light recently was that, according to what Ellen Page says, she said that Misty was raped by a Miramax producer. Really? And because I always wonder, like, why did she go back home? Why isn't she not trying to get more roles? Right. And a part of me feels like that something happened, and then she went home, and it just messed up.
Killed herself, or
they're saying that they found bruises on her. They don't think she killed. The family says that that she didn't kill herself, even though she was bipolar. And mental illness has nothing to do with people. Automatically assuming that people are going to kill themselves. People deal with it all the time.
I know a whole bunch of bipolar motherfuckers. Hollywood is full of bipolar people.
But the police in Seattle treated it like any other native issue and just basically said, oh, she killed herself. We're not going to worry about it. Because as I tell people all the time, we talk about Black Lives Matter, but native people are killed more by law enforcement than any other group in this country. In fact, 3 days ago, a young man up in Wisconsin, 14-year-old, was just recently killed by a sheriff, a 14-year-old walk-in, and the sheriff shot and killed him, native child. So... You know, so when that happened, the police try to act like, oh, well, you know, Native people, she's probably drunk, she's probably this. But looking back now with all the sexual harassment, all the stuff going on, it really makes me think that something went down and happened to her to make her leave and have something happen where she's not here with us. I mean, that's a long story short. I want to make
especially
sure that
when her career was just starting.
It was starting, and she was amazing.
So she would be on the rise and be.
She would be. She would probably be starring in Wind River. If shit hadn't went down, the fact that Ellen Page named it.
As opposed to the Olsen.
Yeah, so it's like, I don't know.
You know what I was telling somebody the other day? I mean, it's like the Miramax thing. I think the reason why the Weinsteins...
They're done.
...had to form the Weinstein companies because...
Shit was already popping off.
Well,
they had to close ranks.
Well, no, not just that, but they sold it to Disney. And when Disney got wind of what this shit was, they were like, you know what? No.
Y'all can't come.
No. Because if this type of stuff happened through Disney executives, it would ruin too much. You know what I'm saying? Like. So they were like, you know what? Y'all got to go. We're not going to renew your contract. Mm-hmm. Get the hell on. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting. I mean, I don't know this, but it's
we're
like.
We're speculating.
I mean.
But I believe it.
No. This point I'm going to make is there's the whole, you know, there's all these women who are now of prominence. You know, Jessica Chastain and Jennifer Lawrence, stuff like that. And people around that age who are like in their late 20s, early 30s now, they're all saying.
We're all A-list.
They're A-list now, but what they're saying to me, what they're saying in the papers now is they're saying they were warned about Harvey Weinstein. And I just wonder, you know, the Weinstein's company, since they left, they had a very, very hard time getting projects that meant anything to anybody. Any, you know, like people are like, oh, you know what? He's lost his ability to choose the right projects and blah, blah, blah. And to me, I'm just wondering, I doubt that's the case. I think what really probably happened
people
is
people don't want to work with him.
People don't want to work with right. him. And the and again, like I said, those films from when the Weinsteins left and formed their company in like 05, something like that, mm-hmm. The indie scene became more about giving films to women. Mm-hmm. And if these women had been warned, you know, from everybody, don't go to Weinstein with Weinstein, then, you know, it's the rise of Lionsgate, it's the rise of Orchard, it's the rise
exactly.
of... Exactly. Because they're like, we're not going to them, mm-hmm. you know? And then those guys can't make movies. I mean, like, their last big movie...
So we wouldn't have Devil Wears Prada and shit like that. Is that what you're saying?
So if you think about the last big Weinstein movie was The Artist,
okay.
right? So French movie, mm-hmm. you know, that's made without
Michael
really, his, you know, it's made without his kind of supervision, mm-hmm. and he just kind of picks it up and wants to do it, mm-hmm. and it's like, and that woman, what's her name, Bernice like Bejo, she'd already been a star, mm-hmm. so he can't pull that shit on someone who's already a star, and that was his last, that was the last big movie, and that was 2012. Mm-hmm. So you look at it and it's like, and all the indie films that have come out since then that have given people roles, like that movie that came out recently that could have been a Weinstein film, mm-hmm. you know, with Jessica Chastain, Miss Sloan.
Right.
She said, "Be like, you know what? We're not doing him."
Right.
Boom. And it's, and he's and they're just cut off the list of, well, let's go take this movie to these producers.
Right. Well, there's power in that because what's Gal's last name? How do you pronounce it?
Godot.
I want to say Godot for French, but Gal Gadot, who says she's not going to do Wonder Woman 2. If Brett Ratner is involved, she says she's not signing. And I think that's kind of a ballsy move. It's like, hey, I'm not going to do it, knowing that that movie already made a grip of money and that people more than likely want to go see a sequel to it. Mm-hmm. And she's trying to wield that power, like, right now in this moment, this zeitgeist.
And they already signed, what's her name, to that massive deal? Like, Patty Jenkins did a massive deal to do the next two
films.
And
it's going to be hell trying to recast and do all that. Like, they're going to have to scramble and be like, cut ties.
And I saw that the other day, and I was kind of like, wait, he was involved in the movie. But I was like, oh, yeah, but Rat Pack put money in.
Yes.
Like, everybody put in, like, $70 to $100 million in that movie.
Yeah.
And they're like, you know what? We don't want your money. You know how
now
like,
Hollywood,
crazy
who
that
Hollywood
is?
Does that?
No,
we don't
right.
want
your money.
In the old days, they would have been like, we'll just keep this under wraps, but you take them coins right. and we will use them.
Usually one of the only times you don't take the money is when you are afraid that they're gonna take it over. So you'd rather risk it.
Right, right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
But to just not
take
the money because
someone's involved. Yeah. Peace.
Wow.
And also because statistics have shown that mm-hmm. women watch movies more than men. And
right.
if women know that Brett Ratner is involved with making Wonder Woman and Gal doesn't do it, and all those women who love her and want to see more of that, they're not going to come see your movie.
Right. Again, like I said, it's too precarious. The financial bets are too precarious to risk anything.
Right.
I mean, just people, you know, you're out. You're out and you're done. I mean, Spacey's done. CK, I mean, like CK, they canceled four shows of his at Fox, and I guess he's only in one, but he's producing the other
other side of that. The other side of that coin is, I don't think you necessarily have to scrap the projects they're involved with, because you got to remember all those other people, other
right.
writers, other producers,
right.
actors, the people who, the caterers, those
right.
people depend on those jobs.
All
so I
them.
Feel like you can fire those people, get those other people that you've been denying, those marginalized folks, those women, those people of color who you've had and didn't give them a chance to run a show, let them take over and run that shit.
I just think, again, like I said, I mean,
you ain't got to end House of Cards.
Well, they're not.
What's her name?
Take
no,
over.
They said, no, they've can't. They're saying they're canceling that.
I thought they were rewriting him out.
They've already kicked him out, and they were talking about cancel it. I'm saying let Robin write.
Let it be her show.
Right?
It should
her
be her
show.
Right. Should be her show.
Yeah.
I mean, look, I look at it this way. I'm kind of like, I mean, I said at the top of this, the
right.
backlash, the knee jerk reactions. I mean, canceling all these Spacey things, and I mean the Ridley Scott thing. I get that, But canceling these other projects that CK's involved in, like four of the TV projects. Do you know how much money a TV show puts into this town with the people and the writers and everything like that? This one dude, it's like, damn, dude, like, I'm surprised he weren't killing you because you're taking food off a lot of people's plates.
That's exactly what you're saying, Lisa, right?
Yeah.
Exactly what you're saying.
That's what I'm saying.
What about everybody else?
It's just like when the whole Bill Cosby thing come out, right, and everybody's talking about, you need to take the Cosby show off the air. I'm like, slow your roll.
Yeah.
Slow your roll. Bill Cosby wasn't the only person who made that show a success. Right. You taking money from all those people that put in that work. You know, Lisa Bonet need them clothes.
Right.
I'm just co-signing.
They all need,
I'm not trying to make another point.
I'm saying. But it's like, you got to... There's Let's other people who can do stuff. Let them do the work.
What
Don't
do you
just
guys,
get rid of it.
What do you guys think it looks like now? Now that this is the industry we live in. Now, we'd mentioned earlier, you know, men are, as an example, are going to be afraid to be in a room with a woman by themselves.
Mm-hmm.
That's
mm-hmm.
one start. Mm-hmm. What's it look like for young, like I have some of my assistants here in the room right now. What's it look like for these young filmmakers, actresses? What are they going to do now? I mean, what's the world going to look like?
Look, it's no different than what I do right now. Those of you already know, my day job, I run an outdoor science school. Right. I'm a program manager. I have kids that come up from really poor communities who come up and stay in the mountains.
Right.
We have a staff that work with them. We have to have sexual harassment training for everybody. We always teach them, hey, when you're with children, don't ever be in a room by yourself with a child. If you have to take a child to go see the nurse, take another child with you just to have that back up. That's just common sense now.
Okay.
You know, when you don't hug a child, you can pat them like, hey, high five, that kind of thing. We've been doing that for the last 20 years.
Don't hug the kids anymore.
We cannot because you have to be very careful with that kind of stuff. You can give them a side pat, you know, because you know some kids who
don't touch nobody.
Yeah, keep your hands to yourself.
Basically, don't touch nobody.
Like Tiffany Haddish said last night, if I watched Saturday Night Live, shout out to Tiffany Haddish being one of the first black comedians to host, female comedians, not the first black host.
We don't have her on the show.
But the first black comedian to host Saturday Night Live. And I hear she killed. I didn't watch it. I was doing Saturday Night Sci-Fi.
I taped it.
And I did something else. But, you know, like she said, and when her, they said in her open monologue, and she was making fun of Louis C.K., she just basically said, if your dick is out, but the woman's clothes is still on, you wrong.
Right.
You wrong.
Right. Why okay? you first? What you doing first for?
Why is you naked and my clothes are still on? Like, basic. Like, this is basic stuff. Right. You know what I mean?
Right.
So it's not like all... here's what I'm hearing. And everybody listen. Is that not common sense?
See, this was just,
if she walk in a room and you butt naked and she still got clothes on...
Wait.
You wrong. Negro, you wrong.
I get that. But side joke. See, to me, when people used to say that line, people putting their dicks on the table, see how long they are.
Yeah.
That's actually a truism.
It's real.
That ain't fake. That ain't just
real
like
shit.
But motherfuckers are putting their dicks out.
Yeah, I mean, it's real.
Excuse me while I whip it out.
I was like, wow, motherfuckers is on to something.
But here's a side note. All the people who are complaining about that, this is what I'm looking for. I'm watching people who are like, oh, now we got to walk around and do all this stuff. Those are the motherfuckers you got to watch out for. If you see anybody in the industry who complaining about that, oh, you mean I can't walk around you? That's your next suspect.
Right.
Because somebody else would be like, it's just common sense. Like, hey, just be a decent person. All right, this is what's going on. In this chaos, I think there's going to be some great changes.
Mm-hmm.
There might be some backlash. Look, there was backlash when we had slavery when we got free. Okay?
It's called Reconstruction and the Klan.
We got backlash right now. When Obama got elected, people try to act like all of a sudden Obama brought in racism. Yeah, bitch, it was always there. It just came out in the open because y'all couldn't believe a black man got nominated and won.
It was crazy, but Obama, yeah, I tell my brother.
Y'all got mad that black people was having barbecues in the White House. Changed the furniture around. Michelle had plastic on the couches. She was yelling at the staff, keep that door. Air conditioning ain't free. Keep my screen door closed.
Close the refrigerator.
Why was white
when
people?
The visitors was coming through. She was like,
why was white people walking into the White House going, it's about like all kind of oil and
look,
any kind of cocoa butter
pink
and shit.
Moisture lotion, cocoa butter.
Right.
I'm telling you right now. People
pressing curls with the hot comb with the girls. Listen,
there were people who were saying that Obama was president during Katrina,
and I laughed.
Somebody said that
recently because they were saying, you know, because there was criticism that Trump was getting for not, you know, handling the stuff right in Puerto Rico. They were like, well, Obama didn't do anything for Katrina.
Obama had just barely gotten to the Senate in Chicago. What the fuck are you doing in New Orleans
but
for?
What that tells me is, this is something I want to say.
Americans are stupid.
This is kind of about this sexual harassment thing. it makes me think that the oppression people felt when Obama was in office, you know,
it wasn't oppression. They was pressed. Wasn't no oppression. They was just pressed.
You know, yes. Went back 3 to 4 extra years. Like it felt like it was such a long, long time. But I will say this: I guarantee you, this sexual perversion and harassment stuff like that. Guess what it does? Takes racism.
Why
off are
you
the starting
to? Why wait, Chris? Hold up. Why are you trying to sound like a pimp now?
He did.
His voice softened up. Like he was about to. He's about to snatch a bitch's mind. Like I'm about to talk you into. I'm about to have you go on the track. He's gonna put us on the track. All right, come on, Chris.
I'm just saying.
Come on, look. Come on, daddy.
I'm like, which wig I gotta wear tonight? Which wig? What you want me to wear? Shit.
I'm just saying.
It's cold out here, daddy. We cold out here, daddy. He's like, no, bitch.
Get in the car, daddy.
Here's the thing. If you notice, this article came out the other day. I think it was Friday. It might have been Thursday. About how they were accusing the CBS diversity program of being racist and being homophobic.
I saw that.
But it's all kind of like pushed under the table because that's what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. Racism and homophobia will not be being discussed for a long, long time now because everyone is now today about this. That, I think, is like the craziness. That's the last thing I ought to say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I don't know how we're going to solve this, but the thing
is... We ain't going to solve it.
No, the good thing is people are talking about it, people are aware, and hopefully people will be making some
You know how we solve it?
Moves. How?
This is how we solve it.
We take all men and put them on an island, and we don't let them come over unless they have permission slips.
I know what happens.
And adult supervision.
I saw that, girl.
They need to have adult supervision, preferably by black women.
This is what happens. AI takes over everything. And then,
you know what? Look,
they're making decisions.
Keep Skynet out of this conversation.
They're making decisions now.
So where you at, Lisa Cole Jam?
Oh, you know, I'm always on Twitter. Shout out to Geek Soul Brother and all the folks who were on Saturday Night Sci-Fi last night. We did a rewatching of the 1997 classic Cube.
Right.
Cube. Oh, it's a great movie.
Mm-hmm. And you know, it actually holds up after all these years.
Oh, yeah, later. Totally.
Shout out to them. Shout out to Black Girl Nerds, all the good stuff that's been going on.
Canadian
Valerie
horror.
Conflex. All my peeps, all the Black Girl Nerds who roll with me on Twitter. A lot of you have been doing the good work. You've been putting in work, even though you've been getting a lot of pushback. You've been getting a lot of trolls in your mentions. But, you know, black women, we always hold it together. Power to the sisters.
Right.
And shout out to Taiki for the success of the Thor movie. Like, the number one movie. Mm-hmm.
Two weekends in a row.
Two weekends in a row in the world. Right. You know, and shout out to Tessa Thompson, looking amazing as Valkyrie. I expect to see at the bar some new drinks. Okay, it's going to be called the Valk.
Okay,
like the Yak, we're going to have some Valk. So shout out to all that great stuff. And you can find me on PitchFlix. You know, I'm always on Twitter. You know, hit me up. You know, it's a hot mess.
Right.
Always a good time.
Where you at, Chris?
I am on Twitter and on Instagram.
He ain't on Twitter. He on there every now and then.
I'm not
when he got something, a slave to it. When he got, like, slave. What you trying to say?
I'm on Twitter occasionally.
When he has to clap back. When he wants to jump into my mention with something cinema. Like, well actually.
I'm not on enough. And I'm on Instagram at unauthorized CBD. And I'm unveiling a new theme and everything for the website, Shadowboxer Cinema.
Nice.
So by the time this drops, it'll be up. Okay. So it's at shadowboxercinema.net.
Okay.
No, because your Shadowbox... Wait, doesn't your Shadowboxer... You have a Twitter account for that too, right?
I have one, no.
Oh, never mind.
No.
I was going to say. Oh, well.
Somebody else might have something similar.
Okay, I was going to say.
Interesting.
Okay.
And I am your host, Hilliard Guest. You guys can find me on Twitter at Hilliard Guest. Follow the show, screenwritersrantroom at gmail.com.
Oh, wait, before I forget.
Why are you always asking
some
new
shit? It just came to me. Thank you.
See what I'm talking about, John?
Thank you, Marvel, for those gorgeous, gorgeous new one sheets of all the characters in Black Panther.
Yes.
Those are great.
My Shuri costume, like, I'm going dressed as Shuri.
You
going
to do it?
I'm doing the face paint. I already got the hair. I just need the big hand things. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to decide if I'm going to do, like, the black stiletto boots and the whip, or I'm going to do the, I got to find those hands. So I already got my costume. It's not even a costume. It's my regalia. Because black people.
It's your usual Saturday night show.
Black people, right? I'm telling y'all right now, we going to show out. I already got my JBL speaker. So when the movie ends, I'm going to put on. Look, you think I'm lying. I'm going to put on Maze and Frankie Beverly. And we going to let you slide out the theater. Y'all think I'm bullshit. It's going to be in my purse. But thank you for those posters. They look fucking amazing. The melanin is just popping off the posters. Mm-hmm. I'm so excited. I mean, I'm down for Thor, and I'm glad it's success. But I'm letting y'all know right now, Wakanda is a national holiday. Mm. From now on, February 16th, will always be known as Black World.
Right.
Wakanda forever. Get your life right.
I just have one thing to say about Thor's success.
You're going to add some more shit.
No, just reminded. I just remind people, because the people always say the movies are dying. Mm-hmm. Make a good movie and people come.
Yes.
Right. On that note, do me a favor. Go on iTunes. Give us a 5-star review.
Please do.
We need that for the metrics. Follow us on Facebook. As you guys see, we are live with this shit right now for the first time ever. What's up, y'all? Everybody wave to the camera.
I'm not even waving. I'm ignoring the
What's
camera.
What's up, bitches? Hey,
I've been trying to ignore it, but I see it in my eye.
Like, I forget it's there, but it's like I'm just focused on you saying something smart.
Yeah, you guys did fine.
Yeah.
Anyway, shout out to my assistants. We appreciate y'all. Camille Santiago, we love you guys. What else? A lot of shit going on. I don't even tell y'all about shit that on air. Anyway, so shout out to all y'all motherfuckers out there. Thank y'all for listening. Follow us, retweet us, post us, all that.
Happy National
Veterans Day.
No, not just Veterans Day. Shout out to all the vets, of course, but it's Native American Heritage Month. All
right.
So shout out to the Native fam, First Nations, hooty-hoo. Okay.
So join in with me, everybody. Join in with
shout
me,
shout out to the Choctaw. Hey, Mississippi band. Mm-hmm. What's up, fam?
Exactly. Y'all know how we do it on the Rant Room. On the show, we keep it real. We keep it opinionated. We keep it what, everybody?
Wakanda.
You got to throw out the W's, y'all. Like West Coast, y'all. They got them W's.
Peace, y'all.
Ciao.
I'ma say what I feel, and I promise to keep it real. Welcome to the Rant Room. Well, you gotta be a rider till your fears are diminishing, the doubts are behind ya. It's hard to grind and the business got me stressed. In the Rant Room, we let that shit up off our chest. You know the street nerd has got no time for no caca. Sass in class, yes, that's Mr. Bolakaja. Never have to guess when you're listening to Hilliard. He gon' bring more game than a shark playing billiards. It's all about the crap of screenwriting. It's exciting when you turn an outline into something enlightening. Your pen and words are like bullets in a gun. Write what you feel, say what you want. Welcome to the Rant Room.